Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Winners in life's race don't carry their belongings across the finish line. No, U-Haul will follow your hearse. Coveting, that's what God addressed in the last of the Ten Commandments. And coveting is our focus on today's broadcast. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer takes us to the last of the Ten Commandments as he brings a message on covetousness, the sin nobody sees.
I suggest that if you make out a will, and you ought to have one incidentally, if you have children, I suggest you make it out very fairly, because if not, there's going to be a big scrap at your funeral. Happens all the time. You'd be surprised at the fine, wonderful Christian homes that are split, torn in two by strife and division and hatred, all because of the inequities of dividing up the loot after people die. I think of a man in New York, a Christian man in New York, who said that because his brother tried to chisel him out of part of his inheritance, he actually plotted to kill him. Something happens when people realize that there was money that they were to receive that doesn't seem to be coming to them. One day Jesus was preaching a sermon, and someone interrupted. The 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke tells the story. Maybe we should turn to that story. Someone interrupted and said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." It seemed like a rather reasonable request. Jesus wasn't actually asked whether or not he would be the arbiter. He was asked to take sides. He was saying, "Tell my brother," the boy said, "to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus backed out of the responsibility. Instead, he does something that you and I would never think of doing in a context like that, that seemed like a reasonable request. Jesus said to the young man, "Beware of covetousness, he says, "because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." That's what Christ's response was. And then Jesus goes on to tell the story of a farmer, a very familiar farmer who had lots of grain, and he had more than his granaries and his barns could hold. And so he says, "I'm going to tear them down and I'm going to build greater, and then I'm going to go to Florida and spend the rest of my life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Enjoy it." Covetousness is a sin that is so subtle because, for one thing, nobody sees it. You look at the other commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Certainly Jesus said that we should not lust in our hearts. But basically, adultery, as far as the act is concerned, is something that can be taken into account to judge a person. You take, for example, the sin of stealing, lying. But covetousness hides down deep in the heart, and there is no law in the United States nor in the state of Illinois that can ever try you for covetousness. Never seen it yet. Seen all kinds of interesting things in the Chicago newspaper. Never have seen anyone tried for covetousness. It lurks within the human heart. The Ten Commandments are all held together. I wish I had time to show that to you. But the one that holds them all together is the last one and the first one. They're almost identical. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his house, nor his servants, nor anything that belongs to his neighbors. And it is impossible to touch any of the other commandments without somehow infringing on covetousness. It is tied together with all the rest. You can't commit the other sins without committing this one too. Now, let's answer some questions regarding covetousness, and we've got to do this quickly. First, why is covetousness so deceitful? Why is it so deceitful? The Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches, the deceitfulness of covetousness. Let me tell you very quickly that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, the Apostle Paul talks about the cloak of covetousness. The reason that covetousness is so deceptive is that it always comes clothed in a way that is deceitful. Something like that little Red Riding Hood story, where the wolf, first of all, plays the grandmother so that later he can play the wolf. Covetousness comes cloaked. How does it come cloaked? It can come cloaked under the doctrine of fairness. Fairness. You look at this young man. He says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." There's nothing wrong with that. I ought to get what I have coming to me. We ought to do this properly, just as the will specifies. That sounds right. And yet Jesus looks into the young man's heart and says, "Oh, beware of covetousness. Wait a minute here. You have a legal problem, but deeper than the legal problem is a covetous problem. It's the problem of the human heart." So you see, under the doctrine of fairness, we can hide the desire for things and to make sure that we're going to get our share because we have it coming to us. And we may legally, but the problem is that down deep within, there's a covetous spirit. It also comes cloaked not only with fairness, but it comes cloaked with prudence. You know, I reread this story of this rich man. I've never preached on the parable, frankly. I'm sure that in the years I should have, but I never have. But I reread it this past week a couple of times and thought to myself, my word, what's so wrong with this man? I mean, he has no place to put all of his grain, so he builds his granaries, his barns bigger, and he says, "I'm going to take all of them and put all this away, and then I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." Isn't this the American way of life? Wouldn't this make an excellent story on the front page of the Wall Street Journal? Isn't this what life is all about, is to get as much as you can so that you can enjoy it and you can travel and you can have friends and you can eat out and you can live in a lavish place and you can take care of everything? Isn't that what we were all about? My dear friend, under the guise of prudence can lurk a very covetous, deceitful, grabbing, hungry, deceitful heart. See, that's why covetousness is a sin that probably I cannot convince you that you have it. Only God can show it to you. It is so deceitful. Because people say, "Well, I've got to earn a living," or "other people are doing it and I've got to compete," and all these excuses are given, you see, and it cloaks the hidden desire for things and for security, and down deep beneath the frugality and the fairness and the prudence, there is a heart that craves, that desires more than other people have. You see, the problem is that the greed of the human heart can never be satisfied. That's the problem. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that he that loves silver is not satisfied with silver. It's amazing. Because what it's saying is that you and I have within us an insatiable desire. If we love silver, we will not be satisfied with silver. We will go on to gold, and we will go on to this and on to that, and on it will go. And the thirst continues to get greater and greater and greater, and it does not abate no matter how much we feed greed. Greed is like a cord that is wrapped around the human heart until it chokes everything and you become miserly and withdrawn and stingy and irritable and full of all kinds of schemes because of that greed, that covetous spirit, that greed. People who are greedy are full of restless energy, wanting to grab. If you were to paint a picture of covetousness, I don't think it would be a person that was fat and clumsy. It would be lean, hungry, scheming, desiring. That's what exists in the human heart. That's why it's so deceitful. There's a second question, and that is, how is it detected? How do you know whether you have a covetous heart? Notice the text. First of all, we can tell it by what we say. Notice this man who speaks. He reasons to himself, verse 17. First of all, he's speaking to himself. I guess it's all right to speak to yourself, but when you begin to answer, maybe you have some problems. I heard someone who says, "I always speak to myself because there's nobody else around intelligent enough to carry on a conversation with." But this man was reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns. I will build larger ones. I will store there all my grain. I. You've met people like that. In fact, take a good look in the mirror. Maybe. You see, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There are some people who cannot talk about spiritual things. It cannot come out of their mouth. All that they talk about is earning money. All that they talk about is things, 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 acquiring. Who has what and how much? And that's how you detect covetousness, not only by what you say, but by what you do. This man decided, of course, to make room for all of his grain instead of thinking that he really ought to give it away. He begins to use the things that God has given him and to hoard those things even more than he needs. Did you know that there are some people who have more money than they will ever need and they still don't give it away? That's amazing. Just to think, there are people who have more money than they will ever be able to use up, and they still don't give it away because of the greed that exists in the human heart. And God says, thou shalt not covet. We've got to hurry on. First of all, why is it deceitful? It's because it comes cloaked under the guise of very respectful ideas and concepts. Secondly, how is it detected? By what we say and by what we do, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Thirdly, why does God hate it so much? What's God so uptight about when it comes to covetousness? The book of Proverbs says that God hates a covetous spirit. Why does God dislike this sin perhaps more than almost any other? It's because covetousness is a denial of God. It's a denial of God. It is rebellion against God.
Well, my friend, you certainly have to listen to Running to Win next time as you hear the continuation of this message. Envy, covetousness, God hates it, and how it oftentimes lurks in our hearts. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who listens to Running to Win in the Russian language. He says, on the way to work, I told God that I don't know what to do and how to get back to Him, and right away I received an answer from God through your program, Running to Win. The Lord lives and never forgets about us. Tears are falling. May the Lord bless you all. You know why I read that testimony? It's because it's your testimony too. Thanks to you, Running to Win is heard in the Russian language and in other languages as well. Would you consider partnering with us? And during this month, we have a matching gift challenge. That means that every gift that you give will be doubled. And furthermore, I'd like to remind you that at the end of this month, it's actually the end of our fiscal year. So I want you to pray about helping us. Join hands with us as together we run toward the finish line, doing our best to share the gospel around the world.
Erwin Lutzer with part one of The Sin Nobody Sees, another message on the Ten Commandments. Next time, join us for more about the sin of covetousness. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.